Newsmakers Hotline and go to my friend Chuck Sink way up there in New Hampshire.
Yes, way up here where we just had a little snow last night, and it's still pretty chilly and windy, but sunny and really not much left on the ground right now. So we're doing okay, and the ski areas are doing great.
I'm quite surprised that you had time for me today, because on your Facebook page, I noticed that you're quite the skier.
Yeah, I've been out about a half a dozen times this season, which is good for me at my age, and yeah. It's been delightful, and it still is. I plan on getting out two or three more times if things go well.
And tell the audience the difference between spring skiing and winter skiing.
Well, up here in New England, winter can be a mix of ice or wonderful powder. You know, so we really can have you know, the full gamut of conditions from terrible to excellent throughout the, you know, most of the winter months, because sometimes we get a little rain on top and then freezing conditions, but then we get a big, you know, foot of snow on top, softens everything up. Spring is nice because by that time there's a good solid base of snow, not too solid. You know, there's a nice base of snow that sticks around for a while, and as the temperatures warm up, it softens up nicely. And if you get just that right temperature range between, you know, mid-40s, mid-50s, you have a beautiful surface to ski on. It's kind of like, they call it corn snow because it's kind of granular. But it's wonderful for skiing and somewhat forgiving. If it gets too warm, it gets a little slushy. Most people don't like that. I don't mind it so much. I'll ski in just about anything.
Our guest is Chuck Sink. He's a PR professional from New Hampshire. I know him as a columnist in the New England Real Estate Journal. You can tell from listening already that he's a communications pro when he's talking about corn snow.
If you know about it, Tom, you know, you tend to articulate.
What would be your favorite three ski areas in New Hampshire, your top three when you want to go out skiing?
Okay, that would be Cannon, Wildcat, and I would say Waterville Valley.
God, I've skied all of them.
That's wonderful.
And,
yeah,
wasn't Waterville Valley vast and wide?
Yeah, it's one of the more, it's got very wide slopes. They have nice open cruisers, quite a number of them. Yeah, and it's those are all large mountains. You get over 2,000 vertical feet of skiing on all of them.
And I think I remember Wildcat, it's many years ago, but they had these little tiny balls that you rode in to bring you to the top of the mountain. And it was it was a pine tree lined, old time, really cool ski area, like going back into the early 1900s.
It still is much like that, Tom. They did away with that little old two-person gondola that you remember. I did it. I did ride that up a few times before they retired it. And today they replaced it with a nice high-speed quad that gets you right up there fast. But the terrain on that mountain is really delightful, and you cannot beat the views of Mount Washington. It's just right out there in front of you, like you can just, you know, fly across the notch and land over there. It's amazing.
It's amazing, too, for the audience to go up these, you know, the ride to get to the top of the mountain, and you go beyond the tree line, which is all pine trees, into the top of the mountain. And it's really spectacular.
Yeah, the mountain experience, nothing quite like it. And the nice thing about skiing is you don't have to hike to get to the top. They have these lifts that just whiz you right up there, and you get the whole nine yards and then some.
They love it. They just whiz you right up there. So, Chuck Sink, I know you as a columnist. I met you from writing in the New England Real Estate Journal on your column on public relations and communications, etc. First, tell the folks a little bit about your company and what you do, and then a little bit more about your columns in the Real Estate Journal, please.
Sure. My company is Chuck Sink Link. I used to have a newsletter while I was working for an advertising agency, and they let me have this little personal newsletter that I called Chuck Sink Link to stay in touch with people, my customers, and you know, just do little advice columns and articles from time to time on sales and marketing tips, and you know, public relations tips. tips here and there. That got a pretty popular readership of about 2,000. And when it came time to leave that company, I decided that it was a name I could just immediately use as a brand name for my business. So I started Chuck Sink Link as primarily at first a marketing consultancy with a copywriting specialty. You know, that's what I delivered was writing messages, writing content. And I was a one-man band for a while. And that kind of led to implementing my work in other areas like websites, email marketing, social media, and, mostly that digital marketing area that's a website surrounded by, all those other internet channels. So got into that back in around 2011. I started Chuck Sink Link, and I haven't looked back since. The business has managed to grow throughout the years through some very tough times in the first three or four particularly. And then, it's been a good ride since then. I say we because I work with a handful of somewhat dedicated contractors. We're very loyal to each other. Everything's very transparent. We're able to serve clients in a very effective and cost-efficient manner with top-quality talent, if I may. So little agency, little marketing agency, that's what we bring to the table. I was asked to write the New England Real Estate Journal column. I think that goes back to about 2012 or so. And there was another marketing agency principal here in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, Linda Fenaris. If people remember that name, she wrote the column up until that time and just didn't have time for it anymore and asked if I might want to take it over so that she could offer a referral right away. And I've been doing that now and nonstop, and I really appreciate the chance to get some of the word out. I share a lot of the content from my newsletters and blogs with the New England State Real Estate, the New England Real Estate Journal audience. But I do so, I modify each piece, try to be a little bit specific to, that audience. So,
So give a tip to our audience if they want to get ahead. How do they go about preparing and getting a column someplace weekly, monthly, like you do?
Well, that's the short answer is you write something good and then you submit it and you ask. And if necessary, you keep submitting and you continue to ask editors in the publications in which you'd like to appear. I also write for the New England the New Hampshire Business Journal, NHBR, or Business Review, New Hampshire Business Review.
Chuck, what did you have, a couple beers before you came on the show?
Yeah, coffee, can you tell?
I should talk. I've been goofing up all morning.
I'm jumping ahead with words, but I simply sent an article to Jeff Feingold, the editor up here, and he ran it the first time I sent it. And I can't promise everyone they can do that, but if you can write something of value, something that the readers will get something out of, the editors are usually hungry for that. In fact, they're always hungry for that. They need good content so they can sell advertising, obviously.
And can people, I know you know a lot about Facebook, can people practice by posting their articles there?
Yeah, if you have a place to host your article, like a blog or something, sure. Any social media channel is a great place to put it out there and see what kind of response you get. See if people will like your article, comment on it, share. And when people share it, you really know that they want to get that message out too. And so if you can go viral with a message, then you can get a lot of free exposure.
Well, I'm a pretty good writer with my practice. I don't have enough time to write these days. I used to write a column for the Journal for years to get noticed. When we come back, after a couple of commercials, I'm going to ask Chuck about some of the stuff he's written for me, and maybe you want to hire him to write for you if you're busy. Right back with more with Chuck Sink, talking about a little bit of publicity, public relations, and more.
Tom Hill, 1320.
And we're live with Chuck Sink from Chuck Sink Link, a good PR man and a good writer. So we're talking about maybe if you don't want to write, but you want someone to write for you. Let's take it from there, Chuck.
Okay. Well, like you had mentioned, Tom, you're a good writer, but you don't always have time to do it. So the idea of hiring a writer to help you get your message out is to really know what message you want to get and be able to at least articulate that to the author or to the writer in clear, let's call them bullet points. What are the key messages? What are the top three, let's say, or that single message you need to get out there to the audience? Just be prepared to articulate that in a way that gives the writer enough to go on. We can't read minds, and we can't always do the exact right research we need. So we need some direction. Sometimes all you need to do is give them that key message you want, and then show them a website or a resource, a set of publications or books where they can find, key information within that industry or something. So the idea is not to leave them in the dark and just say, "Hey, I need this written." And the other side of that, you don't want to give them too much either. Limit the scope of the message you need to get out there, because if you try to convey too many things at once, you're going to confuse your audience, because first of all, you're going to confuse your writer and so it's just not going to be as good a product. So get specific and limit the scope, and give your writer the resources they need.
Well, and I can tell you, Chuck does a nice job because he's written some things for me, and I also enjoy his columns. Where do you see what businesses that you're representing these days, and what do they see the value of social media, and where are you active in helping them present themselves?
Okay, so you want to, specifically social media. Right now, I have some construction, remodeling, and kind of architectural-related clients for whom I manage social media. I've also done a fair amount in the furniture business and, some retail and consumer type products in terms of social media. So I've done it from the business to business as well as the, business to consumer sectors. And there is a big difference, I can tell you. And I would say if you're a business selling to other businesses, for the most part, now I'm just speaking generally, you're using social media as a public relations and branding vehicle. I wouldn't expect to, get direct business results from using social media. But when you think about branding, when you think about a branding campaign and getting general awareness in the minds and, the minds of your target market, that eventually does lead to sales. You eventually have that top of mind awareness. So if people are seeing you in various channels besides a single website, if they ever get there, or if they, they might hear you on the radio, but if they're seeing a social media ad pop up, or even just a regular organic post, then that's a reinforcement. These construction clients, sometimes they will get some kudos from architects, and they might get something shared, and vice versa. It's all good as far as, name recognition and just good PR, really, because you're always going to keep your message positive. for the most part. So on the consumer side, you can do a lot more with things like Facebook and Instagram, and there are promotional opportunities where you can really get people to click in and make it a conversion right online to
a purchase,
to an online store, and do a purchase, yeah, or walk into a store with a coupon and say, hey, I got this on Facebook. So we've had good results in the consumer and retail side with social media than business to business.
Well, I have to say, with the commercial real estate with me, I post 2 Facebook pages, Twitter. We do broadcast email. The broadcast email works about the best to get direct results. And in all my Facebook and Twitter, a lot of times I put my 755 Hill number in and ask them to call me, because I get people that want to interact with me over social media on commercial real estate, and I don't find that to be helpful at all. I think I need to talk to people or show property in order to get the right reaction. Does that sound correct, or am I making a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, if you can get them to call you and have direct communication through social media, then it's working for you. And we did work together on that a little bit years ago. We didn't get much traction, as you'll recall, but I think we effectively got your message out to a few more eyeballs, and maybe a few extra people got to see it in their Facebook feed and know who Tom Hill was and what you do.
Well, we're still sticking with it. I need to get back with you because maybe this is another lesson for folks. We get so busy with our own businesses that we may not post enough, and I think that's where a guy like you for a monthly fee is probably worth much more than you can do yourself when you should be doing what you're best at, which is selling and talking to people, I would think.
My clients think of me, they like my service that way, because they can set it and forget it when it comes to social media. They know they're getting a good presence, and they're getting a regular postings, good frequency. If anyone is going to visit their page, they're going to see quality stuff when they land there. So that's really what they care about. They're willing to pay a fee for that. They don't expect to, grow by 20% as a result of direct sales from Facebook or Twitter, that's for sure.
Yeah, I am on Twitter as well. I find that a little easier to use, but that's a story for another day. Chuck, why don't you give all your contacts, so if somebody wants to have a meeting with you or talk about you helping them, go ahead.
Okay, the website is chucksink.com, chucksink, and the phone number is 603-345-7223. And I just want to say quickly, Tom, that you mentioned email. Email marketing has been the best, direct broadcast way for you to get results. And it has been for my clients and me as well. I'm a big fan of email.
Yeah, I think you have to be crisp and clean. Lately, I've been back to sending postcards, the postcard rate and the first class rate, and changing them up quite a bit. Are any of your customers having luck with any sorts of direct mail beyond postcards as well?
Not currently, but we have had some in the past with jumbo postcards, at least getting some recognition and some response. So, yeah, I think direct mail has its place. Certainly is physical, and it's. I'm not an expert on mail, direct mail, but I have used it before.
Well, you're an expert on marketing. Is there anything about you or your business or these techniques we're talking about that I'm missing that might be the latest trend and I'm not even up on it?
Well, there's a lot going on with personalization and The whole digital world, as you know, that we don't have much privacy anymore. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. The more you use personalized, direct messaging to people on the internet, sometimes it gets a little creepy for them. So, you have very specific timely information you're getting in front of them, and they're also saying, why are you stalking me? So there's a balancing act there. I think we're getting to a point where we're finding that you know, digital and mobile communication is starting to max out a little bit and, you know, kind of overwhelm people. So I don't know if that's a trend or if I can, you know, say just, you know, stick to the basic, keep your ear to the ground. I think if you, you know, if you're in front of people, that's the key. If you're talking directly with people, and, you know, even if it's a digital conversation, if it's one-on-one, you and the customer, then you're being successful in your sales and marketing effort. Then, you know, the closing the sale is something I can't control for clients.
Right.
But I can generally get them interested in hearing more from you. And hopefully get the message in front of them using the right media channels.
Well, many years ago, speaking of radio advertising here that we provide happily at WATR 1320 AM, I went to a radio seminar many years ago, and they said, we can furnish you the leads. It's up to you to capture the leads, talk to the people, and close the sale. And mm-hmm. I think that's an important situation. And the other one I'll say is I know I'm always studying about the top 50 real estate brokers that do commercial in the country, and they say those fellas and gals spend 4 hours a day on the phone. Are you talking to anybody about their phone canvassing and making phone calls every day?
Yeah, you know, I talk to my my business owner clients about that, and, you know, we kind of coach each other along those lines in the, you know, we're all salesmen still. You know, we realize that we can't let that sales function go dormant. You know, as we get real busy, it's easy to let that go. And so we're coaching each other to, hey, you know, are you making those five outbound calls this week to the key accounts, you know, or whatever the program is that works for you? You know, I'm very lucky. I work with Sandler Training. They're a client of mine, but I get to sit in on some of their management training, and it's really great stuff to see how there's a, you know, kind of a mastermind roundtable group that forms within these training sessions. So that's one area, but absolutely getting on the phone. I find myself writing about the basics like once a year. I'm always going back to an article about picking up the phone, putting keys in the ignition, whatever it takes to have a personal conversation with, you know, someone of influence or a potential customer or current customer.
And then finally, we'll wrap it up. You give it's not how much you charge people; it's giving their money's worth. And if you're successful helping people fulfill their needs, they'll keep coming back. Would you finish up with your contact info? Think up some more topics, and we'll have you on again in a few weeks.
That sounds great, Tom. I'd love to make this a regular chat. My contact information again: chucksink.com. 603-345-7223 up here in beautiful New Hampshire.
Chuck, I appreciate it very much. We'll record this and get it so we can post it for folks, and I'll talk to you in the very near future. Thanks for calling into Hills Gallery.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Talented fellow.